I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Oregon is playing Oregon State right now in men's basketball, and it is 44 to 37, Oregon State with the lead in the first half. I was fully planning in today's podcast to have a discussion about if we're buying the fact that, you know, Oregon men and women are undefeated right now. If we're buying that Oregon is actually good at basketball this year, I think we can probably say if they lose to Oregon State, the answer is like pending. Like, right. Ask me again in 3 months, right? Like,
even if they beat Oregon State, it's pending. You never know what Dana's teams this time of year.
That's the point. The fact that
they haven't lost a game, the fact that they haven't lost yet is amazing.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point, is they're undefeated early in the season, which like never, ever happens. So, I don't know.
Well, even if they win tonight, they won't be undefeated coming into next week, because they go
the
to
Vegas tourney.
Yeah. Fair enough. But still, I think we've been impressed with the way they've been playing so far, right?
Can I just give one snapshot judgment?
Yeah.
Is, granted, Oregon hasn't played anyone at home in basketball. They never play anyone at home in basketball. I think it's a problem that they never play anyone at home in basketball non-con, because why would you go? Like, unless they're top 10 and you're super passionate, why would you go to watch them play Nicholls State, Fullerton, Portland, or I'm just Montana, whatever, right? And granted, this is a rivalry game, but the intro to this game showed a full baseline to baseline student section in Oregon State holding and waving a TIFO. Shout out to our football fans.
Rick Tidd. That's
the best student section I've seen in the state of Oregon since pre-COVID. There is a point where I've said this before, Oregon fans, you're bad at this. Like, the team you're playing, and granted, I know it's a rivalry game, so it's not fair, because like I just said, Oregon never schedules anyone in November and December. This is a team with a Pac-12 logo and a WCC logo on their court. And they have a better atmosphere than you've had in 4+ years for any game, probably. Yeah. For a non-conference game, Jesus Christ. Because I don't even think Oregon fans showed up for that Baylor game a couple years ago where the Bears beat them by a bazillion, I feel like.
They had the upper deck was open for that
game.
Oh,
it was open? The curtains weren't down?
Yeah, curtains were not drawn on it. Yeah.
Sure, okay.
But I 100% agree with you, though, on, I mean, regular fans, yes, they don't. I mean, it's like 4,000 people show up for all these games. But yeah, the student section, the pit crew is bad.
It's bad.
It doesn't even fill up, because my seats are at the very end of, right behind old DJ Gemini, who's at the very edge of the pit crew. All those seats around him, always completely empty. Always completely empty.
I think, I'm trying to think back to a time when they were good.
Right before the pandemic with Pritchard.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the Pritchard time, like, the Final Four team.
Well, and then the year that there was no attendance, they made the Sweet 16 and, you know, whatever. But we couldn't show up, so it didn't, you know.
Well, yeah, no, I'm just saying that that's really, it's been that long since I remember them actually being a factor in a basketball game. I don't want to be that old fucker who brings up Matt Court, but you know, like,
they used to
shake the fucking rims and stuff in that place. So like, you know, they would impact things, and then sort of over the years, I don't know, complacency, like bad product on the court, boring. Like, is, I mean, Dana's boring.
This Oregon football team is boring, and they're selling. Okay, I know they're number one.
Yes,
not fair comparison, but
yeah, no.
Just, it's just, I have a hard time with Oregon. The most critical fan of the most critical Oregon basketball fans don't watch Oregon basketball. They swoop in and they're like, our NIL's the best. Or are this, or that. No, like, I didn't get into it. I watched an argument about Jackson Shellstad, like, just the other day online. Someone was saying how great he was. He's shooting 15% from three this year.
God awful.
He scored 0 points in their last game. But this person was very sure because they know his name because he's an Oregon high school kid. The Jackson Shellstad. Why is Dana wasting this guy? What is he doing wrong? You not watching the games.
He's not scoring the ball.
And again, I don't necessarily expect you to go to every game or watch every game. Yeah. But when I see, when I'm watching this linear argument, I'm like, that's Oregon fan. That's Oregon fan. You're not watching. 15% through four games and scored 0 points in their last game. He's been bad. Yeah. That's fine. It's only four games and into a fifth. He's been bad tonight. Let's see how it goes.
He's only a sophomore. I wonder if this fan completely forgets that Peyton Pritchard, his first year complete facilitator because he was on a good team, right?
Sure.
His sophomore and junior year, he was bad.
His sophomore year, he stunk.
He was so hesitant. He would get to the paint all the time and pick up his dribble and be so scared to shoot the ball or do anything. He would just turn it over or just give it up to someone that's open on the side. If you're saying Shellstad right now, I agree with you. Shellstad right now is not playing good. But he's a guy that's similar, I think, to Pritchard, where I've heard comparisons that he might get drafted this year, and I'm just like, I don't see it. But in another year or two, he's going to be that, if he sticks to his senior, he's going to be the Pritchard senior year. Very, very similar arc so far between these two.
Really talented kid.
I'm not burying him.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Oh, sorry. I was just saying, like, really talented kid hasn't been doing it this year. Yeah, we were like glitching like crazy there for a second. So,
but back to the fans part though. I will say at least it fills up somewhat when conference play starts. But King's 100% right because they never play anyone good in the non-con games, and nobody shows up. Because I go to almost all the games. It's fucking, there was nobody, what was it, the one they almost lost 2 games ago, Portland. There was nobody, there were two people sitting behind me through about 30 rows behind me. Two people, that's it.
Hey, Ski, do you get your girl to go to games with you?
Occasionally she goes to some.
Okay. Like the big games or whatever. Cause I can't imagine like you two, unless she's like a huge Duck basketball honk or something like that.
Oh, that's,
I can't imagine getting her to go with you to watch Portland and the Ducks.
Oh no, that's
in November.
No, my mom is a fucking Oregon basketball honk. There you go. No, she has, she's probably like some of these people on King, like, oh, her whole thing was waiting. Oh, I can't wait for Supreme Cook to start playing. I can't wait.
That's what's right. up.
Oh, he had that one dribble dunk. Oh my god!
And I go to a lot of the games. I'm always, let's see what this team looks like in like February, and maybe January. January is kind of the more litmus test of where Dana's teams are.
The whole Oregon basketball problem is like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because I totally understand why they're going to this year Vegas and in years prior the Bahamas or the Maui gym, you know, the
Lahaina gym.
Yeah, you know, or a few years ago went to MSG, you know, I understand that. But even like these other schools, and I know Oregon isn't in that class, but you see Duke going to Arizona. You see Arizona going to Wisconsin. You see these. Just schedule one. Just schedule one a year that you force people to buy another ticket to. Just give us something.
Well, what was that matchup like last week? I think it might have been the same night the Ducks were playing Portland. It was like Kentucky against Kansas and then North Carolina against Duke. That was all happening in the same gym in the same night.
And we just – and like, because I was thinking about it, other than that Baylor game a few years ago, the only – and Michigan finally came back last year, but Michigan was terrible, and everyone knew they were terrible by the time they got there in late December. The only other big non-conference game I can remember was Georgetown at Mac Court, like one of the last years of Mac Court. They just don't play teams you care about.
And what's it going to hurt?
Why not?
Like, yeah, no, exactly. What's it going to hurt? Like, you get blown out by Duke at home during the non-conference schedule. Okay. It like when the season matters in the end of February and March, no one's going to fucking remember that. Like, unless you beat them, then it'll be like, oh, yeah, Oregon beat Duke 3 months ago. But if you lose to them, nobody cares. They're like, what's your record right now? How'd you do in your conference tournament? Are you good enough right now to be in the tournament? Okay, then you're in the tournament. That's all that fucking matters. Like, what you're trying to do with these games is garner interest from your fans and get them excited and get them out to the arena, which nobody's doing right now for Oregon. So you get them out to a game against Duke or like whoever, or Gonzaga, or Gonzaga makes more sense because they're closer. But like you do something like that, you get them out to the arena and they're like, oh yeah, Duck basketball season. Let's get in a routine of going to a few games. And then you get fans actually going out there and being excited and actually paying attention. Right now, I considered talking about the Ducks today. They're 4-0. Like, they've looked good so far this season, if you've been paying attention. But it's like, but it's the fact that I'm like, oh, Duck basketball season started. We're a podcast that talks mostly about Oregon sports. Should we talk about basketball? Maybe. Yeah. If they played Gonzaga, we would be talking about them playing Gonzaga. Period.
That's the problem. There's not enough good West Coast, because teams don't want to travel if they don't have to. There's just not enough good West Coast teams. I mean, they play like Gonzaga, San Diego State.
Yes.
I mean, I guess now with that's it, right?
Well, yeah. They do play them, San Diego State, next week, but
yep.
Again, but that's in Vegas.
Yeah.
I thought they could go back to playing. I mean, you could play Cal, you could play Stanford again now, you know, stay on the West Coast. Something at least to
we're trying to find exciting schools, man. Like
they do play Stanford this year in a made up fake tournament in the Bay Area. So
we can't be bringing up ACC schools, bro. Come on now, like
well, not those ones.
Well, the West Coast is bad. Yeah. I mean, I guess the big draw would be St. Mary. If you could get St. Mary's to come play.
But like Arizona.
Arizona.
Yeah. Arizona. Arizona.
Yeah, that's
it. Arizona, I mean, Gonzaga.
I mean, Arizona's big enough to where they wouldn't make it a yearly thing, but try.
Sprinkle.
I don't know. Yeah. It's Oregon basketball is such a hard thing for me because I just don't feel like the school cares. And they haven't cared for a while, so now just no one cares.
Dana doesn't even care what the outcomes.
But the funny thing is Dana sucks with the media. But you want to know what? Dan Lanning also sucks with the media. Yeah. Have you ever listened to Dan Lanning talk to the media?
He doesn't respect anybody asking.
But he's
questions.
Also not funny, and yeah. he's not interesting.
Yeah,
like you listen to an interview with him. He's not even like, oh, I eat Zin. I'm interesting, bro. Aliens. He's just boring. Now, Ducks versus them, he's great at that stuff. Yeah. You know, but media stuff, he's bad. And Dana's bad too. But
I wonder,
40 years of it. Dan's only had a couple years.
I honestly just don't think Dan's interesting either. I've listened to some of his Canzano interviews. And he's like, Canzano will be like, hey, like this is from like a couple weeks ago. I saw that your kids are now wearing personalized uniforms for players. I don't remember the players. Why did one pick Matty Yu? Why did one pick Dante Moore? And he was like, oh, they wear uniforms? I don't know. Yeah, I'm the first time hearing that. He's like, oh, well, yeah, well, like the last 2 years, they just wore like generic uniforms, and now they're wearing. Oh, they were? First I'm hearing of that. He stinks too.
Oh, man, should he just get Tosh to be the mouthpiece?
No, there is no mouthpiece. That's the funny thing is.
Yeah.
Oregon is just a football school. Oregon is just a football school. And when people could just realize that on the men's side, like, if you know, whatever, the women's side, softball, basketball, you know, but for the men, we're a football school. And the school plays the game like they're just a football school. They just do. Because if you look back even like 10 years, like, remember when Jojin Sante was in town? Chip Kelly was forced to go to the cooler every week to record a thing, right? And Mike Bellotti and Chip Kelly had coaches shows.
The coaches show. I by the way, I used to love those. Like, because it was the point in the week where you could actually watch highlights, because there's no YouTube. Like, if you wanted to see the game that just happened and hear what the coach said, that's the only way you could do it. It was great.
And there was even a couple of years there during the Chip Kelly, maybe in the Helfrich years.
Chip did it for like a year, and then he was like, yeah, and I'm not doing this shit anymore.
Where Jojin Sante, and I can't remember the co-host, they did a show from the Steelhead Brewery live on CSNNW. Like,
we're coming live from the Steelhead Brewery.
The Steelhead Brewery. There used to be coverage of this stuff, and now there's just not. And I just feel like it trickles down, because why would you go to an Oregon game? They're not asking you to go. They're not telling you. They're not asking. It's just like last week, they send out the email. Oh, look at this exciting weekend of Oregon sports. And the official school email got the tip time for fucking Troy. Who cares? But it's still a game. They got it wrong. It was wrong. The school put a whole graphic together. Wrong. Oh, enough about Oregon basketball.
I
feel like there's so many problems with Oregon basketball.
Yeah.
Just from top down, that even near, like, there is a real position I see, like, talking to people, being online, whatever, where they're just like, oh, cool, Sweet 16, whatever. How are your expectations higher than that?
What has this team shown for the last 40 years to be
ever?
Like, final four or bust kind of thing?
It's like we can make the tall furs joke, and we all remember the 2017 team that made the final four. But, they're going to get good in March, win a conference tournament, go to the Sweet 16, wank, wank. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's probably the best you're going to get outside of, like, the crazy random run where you hit a 40-foot three to win a game. Like, yeah, be happy with that. Jesus.
Play a good Sweet 16 game. That's all you're really expecting.
Oh, my
God. Maybe it goes your way and you make the Elite Eight. I always kind of stick it at, if you make, they make the Elite Eight, that is like an all-time year.
Great year. So, yes, yeah. We have different standards for the sports, but some people... way too many people overlap them, and there's never been a historical reason to overlap them.
Yeah, Ski's mom overlaps them. Yep. By the way, she's
pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I'm fucking with you. First guest in the new iteration of the podcast, Ski's mom for sure.
Like, oh, yell about the basketball team.
Yeah, March. Yeah,
we somehow need to get a live hit in the second half from Matthew Knight Arena when they're losing.
I tell you what, she does not care for Keyshawn Barthelemy at all.
He's been like their best player.
I know. I love that.
We need these takes. That. We need these takes.
She's a real hooper. She's the moneymaker. She's a real hooper. Yes. Love it.
This is how we get advertising on this podcast.
Mama Ski, give us your Keyshawn Barthelemy hate takes.
I don't care for him either, but yeah, she likes that.
Whoa!
She likes that Raheem Moss just because he's a fucking... shitheel Ohio guy.
Doesn't fall Jesus far from Christ. The tree, I see.
Jeez, she's showing up in her J.D. Vance shirt, too?
Pretty much. I mean, he's from Springfield, Ohio, which is...
Where they're eating the dogs?
Where they're eating the cats and the dogs, yeah. The
cats and the dogs.
They're eating them.
Eating the pets.
Eating your pets. Eating the gerbils. Not the guinea pigs. How about women's basketball? Are we ready to talk about them yet? Because I think they're sort of, even though we're like a couple weeks into the season, I think losing, what is it, 14 in a row to end the season last year, we, as a team thought Kelly Graves was done. Like, we're like, he is like beyond washed. He's lucky to keep his job. And the fact that they've started out this season the way they have, like beating Baylor, with their other games, winning convincingly, I don't know. It's sort of the same question we started with. Like, are we ready to actually, like, it's early, but like, are we ready to actually like start thinking that maybe he has a roster that can actually do something?
Tournament team.
Yeah.
Tournament team. The Big Ten's pretty damn good.
Incredible, though.
That's like, what I was going to think. Yeah. How good's the Big Ten to the old Pac-12? Is it comparable in the end?
It's
yeah.
Good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. So that's going to be the barometer, right? Is what happens once they actually get into conference play. We're going to find out, I think. But like, I think going into that, where they're at right now is such a vast improvement over what they were last year. It's really good because I think I enjoy rooting for and watching the women's team when they're really good more than the men's team. With the exception of maybe that Final Four team, because the Final Four team was fun as hell. Like you can't mess with that team. That's like the most fun Oregon basketball team that's ever existed. But I think as sort of a rule, when they're good, they are really fun to watch. I think the fans buy in more with them when they're good than they do when the men are good. Does that sound legit? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, that tracks.
Yeah, so we'll see.
I feel like in women's game, there's more hope. Like, oh, they could potentially make the Final Four or win it more than the men's.
That's a part of it.
Just because there's just the handful of dominant teams in women's basketball compared to the men's game where, shit, how many upsets are there every March Madness? Right,
Northern Iowa can beat North Carolina.
Yeah. How many real Kansas, upsets are whatever. in the women's bracket really every year? One decent upset.
I think it was the first year Sabrina and them made the Sweet 16. It was like, or Elite Eight. It was like, oh my god, it's such a big upset. Look at this tiny little school, tiny Oregon beating Duke. That was monumental.
they shit on Duke too.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was like a good run for Oregon against Duke, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, yeah.
The
beat him in women's hoops.
Coach K talking to Dylan Brooks.
Preaching down to Dylan Brooks.
Good
fun
times.
Little time.
Good times. All right, should we get to football?
Yeah, what?
Anything else first?
No. Before we get to Duck football, yeah, hey, sure. Shohei Ohtani. Winning MVP in New York. Do it in a real market. Hey, Aaron Judge. Do it in LA. Do it in a real market. Frauds. Get out of here.
Frauds.
Do it in Anaheim. Again, I guess.
Yeah, again.
This was the one year, though. We're like, oh, Ohtani might not win the MVP because he's not pitching at all. This, the NL's done. I don't see him not winning the MVP unless he gets hurt again every year. Because if he's going to be an elite hitter, all he has to be is a marginal pitcher to win.
He's going
to
steal zero bases going forward.
Oh, yeah, he'll be done stealing bases, but he'll still hit 40 and drive in 100 and change. So
yeah, no. He literally is a guy where if he goes 39, 109, and 315 with 12 wins and a 2.9, just MVP every year. MVP.
And I'm going to be annoyed at, because they're going to have to argue it. You're going to have to argue someone against him. I just don't, there's going to be no argument against it. It's impossible.
Francisco Lindor.
Eli De La Cruz. Look at he stole
Ronald Acuna Jr. It literally, what you're just describing is what the argument against Aaron Judge was from like August 17th to September 10th, where they're like, I don't know. If you look at Bobby Witt Jr.'s numbers historically, his war is pretty good. It's higher than Aaron Judge's war. No one cares.
His G-flip is off the fucking charts.
He plays a really good shortstop. No one cares.
No one cares.
Who cares? Like, even as a Royals fan, like, guys, stop making that case. No one cares. He plays deep. No one cares. Like once the NL went to a designated hitter, he plays deep. No one cares. No. Stop.
No, that's a shame because Bobby Witt Jr. is elite.
Oh, 100%, but he's never winning an MVP hitting 29 bomb. Like, it's just not.
It is not happen ever.
It is not happening.
Unless someone somehow miraculously hits 400, you better have 35 bombs or more.
100%.
You have to.
And that's how the game is now. And if, you know, in 10 years, it might change a little bit, but that'll be when Witt and Judge or Ohtani are done winning MVPs anyway. Yeah. So
Ozzie Smith's not walking out there winning an MVP award anymore.
Yeah.
Hitting like 303 nine bombs.
Biggest fraud.
Have you seen his range?
Biggest fraud ever. Like, really good at defense. Get out of here.
His teeter. Have you seen his teeter stats? I don't know. What's teeter? Oh, I don't know either.
Oh, my God. He hit 56 RBI this year. Isn't he the best? But look, he can do flips.
It's a lot harder for him to play because they play on turf.
Give me started. Fraud.
Drop dick or you have no chance.
Or move it on. Yeah.
And if you drop enough dick, you can't be the attorney general either, apparently. Nope. So. It's a funny little paradox. Yeah. You can still be the president, though.
Yes, you can.
Weird.
Ozzie Smith. He's a wizard.
Some say he's a wizard.
Some say he's a wizard. A lot of people.
Magic.
A lot of people are saying he's a
Love
wizard.
Love you, Missouri.
I've never seen him do any magic.
That Nelly guy, St. Louis.
He's a St. lunatic.
Don't get me started on Sam Bradford.
Murphy Lee.
It's a great drop.
Thank you.
Murphy Lee. Oh, the youth of today will never know.
Never know.
A good Murphy Lee.
You're going to have to Google Murphy Lee, folks. Don't make me spell it out for you. Okay, we are like a half an hour into the podcast. I'm going to officially do the intro to the podcast. How about that? Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm Alex Kingsky. Tweet at us if you want. Those handles are on the picture of the podcast. Two of us are on Blue Sky now. So if you search for TSB Pod on Blue Sky, that's me. And Ski didn't change his name yet. So you have to like change your name on it to like make it so people can find you. So Ski's on there. He just doesn't know how to use it yet. King is resisting. King is the resistance. Yeah. So
I'm the Jeff Tiedrich of joining Blue Sky. I am resisting.
Yeah,
it's 2016 all over again.
Yeah, I'm like a couple weeks away, probably like beginning of the year. From no longer posting podcast stuff on Twitter. So
Twitter's dead. Twitter's
no, totally. So heads up, follow the Twitter account if you want to, but I think stuff's moving to Blue Sky. That's where things are moving. So
I just don't like the way the Blue Sky names look. It's like Peter Smith dot Miel dot SK. I don't like it.
I completely agree. That's a big reason why you need to like update your name. It's because that's like the way people can find you if you want. So you got to do that part. Like the name is a thing, like the handle or whatever you want to call it. But you can also change like the name. And then that's how it works. So yeah. That's how you're displayed and shit. So, it was nice. It was copy and paste old pictures, old background. Just it was like a straight. Yeah, it was pretty simple. And it's this one's not tied to Instagram. Let's see what else. We watch a movie every Sunday. Our movie this week is Your Viewer Movie. It is on Netflix. It is Bone Tomahawk. We did a like a poll in our Discord, which, by the way, join that Sports Brewery in Discord if you want to join that. And the vote went for Bone Tomahawk. So it's Kurt Russell. It's a wild movie, folks. And it is on Netflix. So watch it and listen to us talk about it on Sunday. We do the sports podcast, by the way, every Thursday or so, depending on the holiday season, at around 7:30. It's on Twitch, twitch.tv/abrog87, ABRAWG87. Hit follow. It'll tell you when we go live. Like and subscribe, all the things. You know what? Just do the things. It's YouTube, too. Like, find it. It's good. Yeah, Booble says, I do like the poll in the Discord. Keep doing that. Yeah, agreed. You guys give us, like, some options. I will do the polls. Like, it's not up to us when it's your movie. So you give us options. I'll make a poll. We'll decide based on that. That's perfect. Yeah, next week, Booble asking about next week's podcast. Do we want to decide it right now? Because we were sort of like...
I think you guys go, because I think I might be a pain in the ass in the next month or so. So
we were like texting each other earlier. Do we just want to decide now? It's either Tuesday night or like Friday during the day. What do we think? Does it matter? Do you work Friday, King?
No.
Okay. Do you want to just do Friday during the day? Does that work?
I honestly don't care. That's fine with me.
Yeah. Does that work for you, Ski?
That's fine. Yeah.
All right, we'll do Friday. How about 1 o'clock?
Sure.
All right.
Call it a one.
All right, we're going to do 1 o'clock on Black Friday. I love it. All right, so tune in then. I don't know, whatever. All right, so let's get...
Ducks down 11.
Yeah, it's 55-44, about 15 minutes left in the game. In the Civil War in Gill Coliseum.
Shellstad, man.
Woof.
Thanks.
Bad at basketball. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk Oregon, Wisconsin. So, it's like it was like a good game, but it was also not a very good game. Like Oregon's offense played like shit, but boy, did their defense not. I understand, like, Wisconsin's, like, offensive coordinator got fired. Their quarterback is truly inept. Like, he is really terrible.
And that was the only key King said last week was,
yeah,
make this guy have to throw. Yeah. And when he had to throw, he is very bad.
That's sort of the thing, too, is, like, he didn't have to throw. Like, they had, it was like tied. They had the lead for a lot of the game. Like, they didn't have to, but they could not
extend any lead because of that.
Could not run the ball either. And so, like, Oregon really did that job for themselves by completely shutting down the run the entire game, with the exception of like one drive. And then, you know, just sort of that's your only option. Like, we can't run. I guess we got to throw. And that's not working either. So what do you do? And I mean, there are games like this throughout a season where your defense and your special teams are going to have to win you a game. And like Sappington was perfect. He scored 10 of the 16 points for Oregon in the game. Their defense was just lights out and they won the game. The offense was not good. Like Dylan Gabriel was off. Jordan James had a good game. The receivers, I mean,
Stewart had like 10 catches,
but under 100 yards. So, like, is that a good game? I guess.
Yeah, that's on Dylan, though. That's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they were sloppy. Like, they were sloppy. And, you know, because there were plays that Dylan even made where he's rolling to his left, throws downfield, wide open. Ferguson just falls down. Like it's a walk-in touchdown. Just don't fall down while you're running a route. And it's a walk-in touchdown. So it's that sort of thing where they just kept stepping on their dick the entire game and like couldn't get out of their own way offensively the entire game. But like Idaho, like Boise, they won. And maybe that's a Dan Lanning thing. Like, I don't know.
Gritty gutty.
Gritty.
But the fact that Oregon is like now this year consistently winning those close games that they probably shouldn't win is pretty cool. And something we're used to.
We brought it up last week, though, also. This was, you know, the Ducks' 8th straight conference game. It was a road game, one of the farthest times they had to travel this year.
Yes.
It was set up. I said I picked Wisconsin in our lines because I said if they played like that, they would lose or barely win. And they played very similar to last week. Yep. But there is grit is a good way to describe at least this defense for the most part. They are a tough bunch to score on. I mean, you can move there's always a drive or two, but that's every team has a drive or two where, all right, the offense calls the correct plays, you know, shit like that. But this defense is legit. And you guys were kind of, you know, throwing shade at Dylan Gabriel there. I think you need to throw equal shade at Will Stein's play calling as well. Mm-hmm. Both were very, very mediocre to bad.
But before we get to the Will Stein thing, which we should, I just kind of want to mention, we kind of talked about it in the Discord, but like Oregon, and I hate doing the schedule talk because I don't think one scary week of scheduling means shit. I hate when people blame the 1 week, but Oregon's the only Power Four team in the country that played 8 straight weeks of conference games, right?
8 straight weeks, period, I believe, as well.
I believe you're right, too, as a Power Four team. And Oregon is one of only two teams this week that has a bye. And the other team that has a bye is their opponent for next week. And in the last 5 weeks, Oregon traveled to the East Coast, Midwest, however you want to phrase it, 3 times. Like, the Big Ten did not do Oregon. I'm not saying they went out and tried to screw them. But that was a lopsided schedule, and I think we kind of knew it at the time, like even in the beginning of the year. But I don't think
I thought it was going to wear on them this much.
But I think it really did. I really think it did because it's just a lot of travel, and Michigan's not, you know, what they were last year and what they probably won't be next year. But still, again, you know, you went to Michigan, you went to Wisconsin, you're flying the, and they're the, again, the other stat, they are the only, so in the Big Ten, if you play on a Friday, which Michigan and Ohio State never will, they just won't. If you play on a Friday in the Big Ten, you have to play 2 Fridays, right? They are the, and other conferences have the same agreement. They are the only team in the country, Power Four, that played 2 Friday games in 3 weeks. One on the West Coast, one in the Midwest. So there was just a lot of schedule stuff going against them. And yeah, I just think they were tired.
Three straight weeks they're going to play a team coming off a bye as well.
Yeah. Exactly. Own. Like, so it's insane how, again, I don't think they did it on purpose. And there will be years where Oregon has a schedule like Indiana. Where it's just...
We can only hope we have that.
Oh, shit. You just win that one game, you're going 12-0. You know? It just wasn't Oregon, you know.
I will say it's going to come around on Ohio State here, though, because if they get by Indiana and they make it to the Big Ten Championship, they're going to be the ones that are going to be playing 7 straight weeks of games on top of it. So, on top, you know, losing 2 offenses, they're going to be dealing with injuries, too. So, they could be sounding like us Duck fans here come the Big Ten Championship game if they get there.
Yeah. I remember I said it early in the game, and I was premature because he ended up with 121 yards and a touchdown.
It's okay. But that happens to everyone, Dave.
It happens to the best of us. I was like Jordan James in the first quarter, like after his first 3 carries, I was like, he looks gassed. Like he looks tired.
Which is weird because carry the ball 20 times in 3 weeks.
Yeah, and by the way, 25 times against Wisconsin. He looked tired. The team is tired. The team is banged up. Like, they need this bye so bad. And, you know, like, Birch, you know, fighting through his injuries all season long. They're going to get Tez back if you follow him on Instagram for what the Washington game. Like, they...
I hope Tez does not play against Washington.
Okay, we got to stop that. Nope. We got to stop that. You're like Joey Galloway over here. Like, oh, I think Indiana should bench their quarterback against Ohio State so they have a better chance at the playoff. No. No.
It's because he's hurt.
It's Washington.
So he doesn't need to play.
He does. Two losses last year. He's playing, bro. Like,
right, well, guess what? If he plays and gets hurt, I'm putting it square on you, bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right on your shoulders. Your big, broad, sweaty, muscly shoulders.
Don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you put that on me.
Josh Pate shoulders.
thanks for the compliments about my shoulders. Turtle.
I see you. You're working at home and doing those bell pulls.
Turtle. No. So, like, you know, I think it is known now. I think people are finally sort of realizing that. God, Oregon really didn't look that great against Maryland. Man, they struggled and barely survived against Wisconsin, who is bad. And I think they're starting to maybe realize why. It's because
Wisconsin D has a good secondary.
Yeah,
so I mean, we always give them that.
They have. I mean, they have depth.
Passing defense.
Oregon has depth on defense. They had depth on offense until they lost some of those pieces, and it's showing. Like the defense is really good still, even though like Birch has been out. Like they still have a 5-star defensive end. Backup.
This is a show out kind of last month for Matty U.
Really
with
is.
Birch being banged up and stuff, and yeah, he's really sharp. Yeah, you're a 5-star for a reason.
Amen.
That stick on third down or whatever.
Boy.
Whoa.
He
it's not often you just see someone hit someone and they just collapse. Like they just fall
classic,
down.
Classic perfect over the middle tackle that is not even close to a penalty. It was like beautiful. It was like a work of art. I was saying it on Discord during the game too. He reminds me, because I'm a Niners fan, of Nick Bosa. Because Nick Bosa either gets pressure.
Don't say that.
Okay, fair.
They'll get hurt.
Easy, googly. He either gets pressure, a sack, or held every single play. And that's what he was doing against Wisconsin. It was incredible. Like every time, like no wonder their quarterback can't pass. One, he's bad at throwing a football, but two, he's under pressure. Like every single time he goes back. So yeah. And like, how much does that help the DBs too? Cause the DBs playing 8 games in a row are tired and banged up and need a break. And if you're getting pressure, you're making them have to cover one move, dude. Like their quarterback's not running across the field. He's getting rid of the football as quick as he can or going down. And it helps everything, man. Like he's been so key for them the last couple of weeks.
Well, this it is really shown that going forward in this conference, if Lanning could just nail getting those defensive ends every cycle that he needs them.
Yeah.
Because if you could have two, like when Birch is healthy and you could have both those guys on the edge, these quarterbacks in this conference are bad.
A lot of them aren't
mobile. So how much it just elevates your D, because like I said, it elevates the secondary by having those guys just even get pressure on these fucking mid-ass quarterbacks that the Big Ten has.
I'm looking up their recruiting because I think they have a couple of guys in the next cycle. Like,
I saw some
good
blurb about some big, or was that the giant tight end? Like the tight end, not DN. A giant like 6'7" guy or whatever.
Yeah, he's 6'7", 260 or whatever. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe it's offensive line I was thinking of. They got a 4-star edge guy. Yeah, okay. So still got to work on the defensive front. But like we've talked about that since the beginning of the season, though. We've talked about that all season with this Oregon team. Like that is the strength of the defense. Like we knew that. We're like they got Harmon, they got Caldwell. We thought it was going to be Caldwell more when the season started, and he sort of emerged the last few weeks after not really. I mean, I guess he's like a space filling guy, so he's not
spacier.
Gonna do a lot other than that. But he started to actually make some huge plays for the defense. Like there was the highlight that was posted online of him being like occupying two guys, like shedding each of them and then making a tackle. Like that is NFL shit. Like that's an NFL play.
If you look historically, you know, the Clemson teams, those Georgia teams, they all had the dominant front fours. Mm-hmm. And that's what Lanning needs to stick with this. Because, I mean, I think you guys will agree. I think the Ducks linebackers are, they're okay. There's nothing special about the Oregon linebackers.
Yeah.
So if you have a good front four and a good secondary, it makes up for having not a lot of quality at linebacker.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Boss is really good at diagnosing plays. But like Adrian Jackson, but Adrian Jackson sucks. Adrian Jackson overruns plays a lot or runs into him, which is bizarre. That's happened like four times this year.
He needs so much coaching. Like he's so raw. Like,
he's absolutely like athletic as hell. Totally understand why he was a 4-star or whatever. But yeah, there are some plays where it's like, come on, bud.
Where are you going?
Boss is pointing. Yeah. It's going here. It's going here. Inch over. And then you run right into him.
and then Boss will be guarding a guy so close, he'll be turned sideways, and the quarterback will like run right next to him because he's not paying attention that much. Like, is Betcher I know he leads the team in tackles. He's like the best linebacker? He might be. Linebacker?
Like a pure tackler? Like...
Yeah, reading plays, making tackles, like.
Well, with this front four, with how dominant the front is, they occupy so many guys that they can't really get to that second level of linebackers. And Betcher is the best at going up and making a tackle when he's not getting
because he doesn't get blocked. Yeah, totally.
I like Boss in certain scenarios. He's just too small for a linebacker.
Right. No, and we were. Me especially were kind of rough on Bossa last year, even coming into this year. Yeah. He's much improved. Mm-hmm. And he was improved last year as the season went on. But still, when you're a middle linebacker, and I don't care how jacked you are, and you probably weigh 205 pounds, it's the same thing with Jess and Jacobs. Like, you're I get it. Violent collisions. Got it. And when you are squared up, you win that fight every time, but you're small and you're not, it's just how the game goes. You're not going to win the position every single time. Yeah. And when you don't look great.
Yep.
Which again, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. That's what's happened on the handful of big runs that's happened against his defense all year. It's been a linebacker fucking up usually.
But what they have is veterans around them, like
grit.
Who like make up for it, right? They cover them.
Do you prefer grit or guts?
Do you have it? You know my answer.
No, I'm a grit guy.
I'm a grit guy too. Yeah.
These kids got guts. Come on, man. all right, anything else to talk about with the team? I mean, the fake field goal.
They faked the field goal.
Real quick. I went into that field goal thinking, God, like, why kick it? Like, just
go for it.
Keep
the offense out there.
Three points doesn't do anything for you. Like, yeah, so I was like, I wasn't necessarily mad that they faked it, but like...
I'd
rather have DG run a play, right?
Right, yes. I saw it not just from Duck fans, because fans will fans can sugarcoat anything, but I even saw it from a couple like non-partial big follower football accounts where they're like, oh, it's another big brain move by Lanning. Because if you go up by six, they got to play for the touchdown. You miss it and you're only up three. Wisconsin, because of their quarterback and the wind, they're only going to play for a field goal. How brilliant. I'm like, okay, guys, we're going a little too far on the Lanning genius thing. That Ohio State thing worked out. That punt against Michigan, got it. This one,
the Maryland,
you
fake.
Lost me.
I'm sure that was on almost every head coach's chart that says scenario. Oh, it's fourth and what was it? Three there. I think that's ESPN would have a go for it every time. Right,
well,
there.
If Herbert makes a block, the punter gets the first down.
The punter walks into the fucking end zone. Like, I mean, block a dude. You suck, bro. You suck.
We don't see practice. I know. Breaking news, guys. To everyone out there, we don't see practice. But I don't understand. T-Ferg, if he's not a blocker, fine. I kind of get it. Travis Kelce it out. You know what I mean? Got it. Sadiq, who came into the year as being a borderline blocker. But if you watch some of the accounts, like just for example, like a Jeff Schwartz, every week he will like isolate a play or two of Sadiq blocking his ass off. Yeah. And Herbert's just kind of like, it's, you know, that dragon meme where it's like scary dragon, big cross-eyed with the tongue out dragon. Like, That's Herbert. What Herbert is in that room. why does he play so much?
What is his value? Like, make it make sense.
Not,
you know,
in the great pass. Words of the Backstreet Boys, tell me why. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Tell me why.
Yeah, he's not a good pass catcher. He's not a good pass route runner. He's not a great blocker.
Tell me
what's
why.
Going on?
And for all we know, because Dane Lanning doesn't release injuries, Sadiq has like super mono or something. Ooh. Like, On that note, I think it's fucking crazy that Dane Lanning is like still even this way. Healthy players, when you see them, you'll see them. But the fucking second the Ohio State center tore his Achilles in practice this week, everyone knew. Because being secretive is fucking stupid. It's fucking stupid. If Ohio State and Ryan Day can just be like, he tore his Achilles today. You want to know what? Everyone else? Just be honest. If it's a quarterback with a tweaked ankle, I got it. But if it's a month-long thing, people are still doing, hey, did Matthew Bedford wear pads today? We've never seen him play!
No.
And he's like, you'll see him when you see him. Yeah. It's so dumb.
Will we? When will we see him?
And I remember there was a time where we thought this shit was cute. Chip Kelly threw out 19 guys in walking boots. Yeah. Hardy har har, we got it. I'm over it. Betting is in our lives. Be honest. Yeah. These conferences have injury reports. If a guy's not playing for a month, he's not playing for a month. Just let us know. I hate it. It's dumb.
It is really silly.
Stupid.
All right. Do we want to?
We still got to get to Stein.
Oh, yeah.
Will Stein.
We forgot that because
I'm less anti-Stein than I think most. I think Oregon's offense right now, I don't know that it's necessarily him calling bad plays as much as them being gassed and not executing. I don't know that his play calling is that much different than it's been the whole season. I think like Gabriel's just missing guys. Guys are not like holding blocks. Like I don't know what it is. I don't necessarily put all of it on Stein. I think maybe he goes away from the run when it's working too quickly. But maybe that's really like my only criticism. And going away from the run, it's like you're going to Dylan Gabriel throwing the football, and Dylan Gabriel's good at throwing the football. So I don't know, man. Like I think some of it has to be on the executing too. So
of course, but I feel like aside from the run part, I feel like we saw two games where they, or maybe three if you want to throw in the first half of UCLA, but Boise and Ohio State. And maybe coincidentally, it's just because they were the two best teams, quote unquote, they've played this year, where he went vertical. They were a vertical team. And I know Tez isn't around the last 3 weeks, so maybe that's part of it.
Tez was never their big vertical threat anyway.
Of course, so but he could suck someone in just running.
Sucks him in for his little slant routes.
Yeah, like Evan Stewart catching 10 passes for like 88 yards, that's not his game. Like he, in that scenario, he's better off being six catches, like 112 with a touchdown because he had the one explosive. I feel like he goes away from the run a little bit, and this year, it kind of last year too a little bit, but more this year to me it feels pronounced that he doesn't go for the explosives as much as he could. Like just even to take a shot,
as much as he should.
Just take the big. Just throw deep. If you just it's second and three, just throw it 45 yards down the field. Oh, you miss. All right, run it.
Like, well, what happened in that down. Second? What happened in that second drive? I'm pretty sure they drew a pass interference. Yeah. After that first drive, I think it was run, quick little bubble screen out to someone, you know, three and out punt.
And they did have the deep pass to Stewart up the right sideline that one time. That was basically their only big play the whole game. So, yeah.
My big problem with Stein is that football is meant to have the defense guessing what you're going to do. Science seems so one-dimensional to where it's either going to be run, and quick pass, run, yeah, or it's, all right, we're going to be throwing the ball every time. That drive where it ended with the Dylan Gabriel interception, that was, all right, we're throwing the ball every play this drive. Yep. And then you get it inside the seven, and it's like, oh, we're going to run these stupid little crossing routes on the three-yard line to where you have to have a perfect pinpoint pass there, or if the ball gets tipped, it's that's been all of a lot of his interceptions have been those red zone underneath route crossing routes.
Yeah.
Guess what running the ball and throwing the ball does? It sets up the other thing. Yeah. When you're throwing the ball, the problem is that this should be common fucking football knowledge.
Yeah. No, you're a ball knower.
Ball knower. If you run the ball well, it opens up the passing game for you. He doesn't do both at the same time is my big problem with him.
Certified ball knower.
How great is ball, you know? That's what I want to know.
And the other problem I have with him also is Chip had the same problem too.
You
where
have a Festivus pull behind you? Just feel like with every grievance, the pole should
grow.
Getting
them all out right now.
Yeah.
That he gets so set in.
He's making a list and checking it twice, dude.
Yeah, he is.
He gets so set that he's just going to run plays just straight up the middle. And he's going to do that until it starts to work. And then what happened, especially in the second half with James and stuff, you start getting him out on the edge on some of these plays, and he had big chunk plays. That's what you do when you have guys that are faster in the defense. And you have an offensive line that's not a great run blocking straight up the middle offensive line.
Yeah,
I just don't get it sometimes of what his thought process is on these things.
Especially after you lost, Harper. Like
you lose Harper.
Maybe don't run up the middle as much. By the way, Civil War basketball happening right now. Oregon within two. There are 7 minutes left. They just hit a three.
You lose what is Tez's biggest threat on the field?
Thank you.
Getting the ball in his hands quick and having him run.
Those plays have stopped working entirely. Like they're the exact same plays they've been running all season long. But whether it's the guys just not blocking, which they're not, or it not being in the hands of a guy who is a legit playmaker who can make guys who aren't blocked miss and get 7+ yards every single time that play's run, it's a huge difference with the offense. Because you said it, like second and short, you can do whatever the fuck you want. That's the first down play they run all the time. And it usually gets them 6 or 7 yards, and it doesn't anymore. Like since Tez went out, like since the Michigan game, it does not work anymore.
Well, that's what that play is designed to be quick and then get that one receiver pretty much in a one-on-one matchup with someone that's like 5 or 6 yards off him.
Yep.
And that doesn't work if the guy isn't fast or has good moves. And they keep running those plays, and now they're getting 2 yards, and now it's 2nd and 8.
Or their losses, yeah.
Or losses. And then what do you do next play? Maybe you run the ball next play. You only get a couple. Now it's 3rd and long. And yeah, a big difference of how this offense was moving and how this offense is designed to be 2nd down, 3rd down, and short. That's why they are like top 10 in the country on 3rd down conversions. It was like 50-some-odd% for a while. Mm-hmm. And he's still stuck in this to where, King, you said, you have Evan Stewart. He is a...
Civil War update. Nope. The game is tied.
Hey, yo.
Back to you, Ski.
Oh, Oregon just missed a shot to take the lead, too.
And you have Trayshon Holden. Get those, utilize those guys to what they are best at.
Dude, I'm with Charles in the Discord. Throw some fucking slants, my guy. Like, Trayshon Holden is a beast on slants. Throw that man some slants. Get him in open space over the middle. He's a beast.
With Dylan Gabriel being short, they just need to be run a little deeper. They just need to be like 7 to 8 yard slants and not those quick little slants right off the line. It's not hard to design a play to get these guys in one-on-one matchups in space. It's not hard. We see it every day in these other teams.
It's raining threes in Gill Coliseum, baby! I know the weather is frightful outside the gym, but take a step inside, Gill! It's raining threes! 69-66. Nice. Oregon with the lead. Nice. Okay, sorry, Ski, you were saying?
I'm done with that.
I think the only other thing with Oregon football we need to cover is, do you guys think people outside the Oregon football realm, not rivals, not Washington fans, not USC, but just a Maryland fan, a Texas fan, do you think they find the Ducks versus them videos? And I know they're not watching the whole thing, but so many media members cut up 2-minute sections and throw them out on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. Do you think it's cringy for other fans? The central theme of these things, the thumbs down, the jump around. Just a general question.
Good question.
Not because the team's good. If this was a 500 team doing this shit, you'd be like, all right, yeah, what are you doing? But
I asked because today I heard a clip that was from yesterday from the producer for John Canzano's radio show, where he was saying how cringy those videos were. And then he also was like, but I haven't wore a pair of pants since before the pandemic. And I was like, okay, well.
All right, well.
Well,
you lost me on Canzano's producer, so I already know he doesn't know shit about fuck.
Fair enough.
Look, I don't know shit about fuck. She's going to be the Silver Surfer in the Fantastic Four movie, guys.
Oop. Replacing Jessica Alba? Was she the...
No,
she was Storm or whatever.
No, she was the invisible
Silver Surfer. What the hell am I talking? Yeah. Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Strike that. Mods, delete that.
Cut it. All right. Let's.
I don't like the Silver Surfer. I think he's creepy.
Yeah. We've been doing this podcast for a long time. I was thinking because we don't have trivia today because it's a bye week that we'd be shorter. I don't think we're going to be shorter.
No, we'll just do lines. Go right now.
Lines, Ski.
Lines,
go.
Everywhere. Lines. Lines.
Lines.
Lines.
Lines. Well.
Lines.
How the tables have turned a little bit here in the last couple weeks.
Lines.
Braga. Last week.
Oh, we got the old sound effects.
Yeah. You had 4 points. King, you had 5 points. I had 6 points.
Woo!
Winning the week. So now, Braga, you're up 3 on King, and I cut it to single digits. I'm only down 7.
I just like to make it interesting because we got to keep the listeners, you know, involved.
Braga just has one more long possession in him, and you have no chance, Ski. I can give up that long possession. I still have an onside in me.
I got Cal 2010 in me still, man. You know, I got that 8-minute drive to end the game. I don't even need to score, but I'm gonna win. Better believe that. All right, Ski.
Okay. So the moving week. First game, Purdue, 13.5-point dogs going to Michigan State.
Ugh.
Yeah, there's a lot of these. Yeah.
Ugh. Remember how excited we were about joining the Big Ten? Like, ugh.
And there's been a lot of arguing on the interwebs the last couple weeks about people saying, oh, you know, this big SEC bias and all that stuff. I'll say the Big Ten has a better top of the conference, but as a whole, the Big Ten conference fucking stinks.
Yeah.
Well, it is bad. SEC as a whole, they have 10 pretty quality teams. Big Ten has 4. I mean, big difference there.
Yeah, Illinois ranked.
Yeah,
are they?
Stink.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Still?
They got back in the rankings.
Yeah, they got back in.
They're 7-3, baby.
Yeah, Indiana's the best team in football, man. You know? Like, what are we talking about, Ski?
Also, I'm going to take Sparty. I mean, Purdue's still Purdue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sparty.
Yeah, Purdue's terrible. In every way.
All right. The big game. Indiana. Go to Ohio State. Ohio State, 9.5-point favorites.
I have Ohio State. I think they're going to win by, like, 3 scores. I think this is, like, where... Because Indiana truly has not played anybody this year. I think this is where... And
they have beat the shit out of almost pretty much everyone.
They sure have. I think this is where we sort of are like, all right, well, they're a top 15 team. Like, they're not a top 5 team. I think this is probably where we find that out.
Yeah. OHIO.
I'm going to take Indiana because I think they have to play this game close, I think, to make the playoff. I think their schedule is so bad, and by losing this game, not making the Big Ten championship, that they have to point to something like, hey, look, we play the number 2 team in the country to a 1-score game.
This is
it. You got to let us in now.
This is it for them.
If they lose by 3 scores, they're donezo. Done.
I think they're still in the playoff, right? Like, because they won't play in the Big Ten championship game. They wouldn't have to, by the way, which would benefit them a great deal. I think with the one loss, I think they're probably still in, right?
It's going to be up to people. They're going to probably see Tennessee or Georgia or someone that's right, a big SEC school right on the cusp, and be like,
unless they lose by like 24 plus, I think that's still
three. I said three. If they lose by 3 scores, I think.
Yeah. Unless. Yeah. It's the only way. If they lose by 17, they're still in.
I think so.
Which is a stupid arbitrary number, but yes,
17
you can sell that one.
17 didn't get blown out.
Right.
Like, yeah,
but 21. Oh my god.
21. Oh yeah. So you have 3 scores. You're done. All right. Oh, God. Next game we got, Kings Palm, Illinois. There are dogs on the road to Rutgers by 1.5.
Give me the Illini.
Rutgers is back, man.
They are back.
Yeah, I got my Scarlet Knights in this one. Give me Rutgers.
I don't know. This is just purely for points. I'm going to take the Illinois here. Just chasing points.
Land a Lincoln.
Next game, we got Kings Hawkeyes. They're going to Maryland.
Are they going to make the playoffs?
Iowa 6.5-point favorites on the road.
Iowa, star pick.
Same. Iowa star pick.
Well, I'm just taking Iowa, but I don't have that much faith in them like you guys do. Penn State, they're 11.5-point favorites on the road at Minnesota. This is the team. Penn State beats the shit out of these teams. give me Penn State.
On the road, too, you know? Like,
oh, is King row? Are you rowing that boat, King?
Oh, I'm rowing the boat, Sky U Ma. PJ Fleck, baby. PJ Fleck, baby, what you mean? They're covering that spread. What you mean?
Imagine if Oregon hired him.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they were talking about it.
I'd be wearing a fucking ore hat. Sure, well, I wouldn't. He would have been fired, but...
Yeah, by now. Yeah, totally. I have Penn State.
Next game, Wisconsin going to Nebraska. Nebraska, the slight favorite, 1.5 points. I'll start it off. I am star picking Nebraska. I'm still staying with my theory. Like I'm like staying that. With my theory. The game after they played, because they got the Ducks hammered them.
That's true. That
game. It was a close game, but they got beat the fuck up by the Ducks.
This game's in Madison.
It's in Nebraska.
Yeah.
In Lincoln. You want to know what? I think Nebraska, I think the stat is they've lost 9 straight games once they had 5 wins. So they've lost 9 straight games to get them bowl eligible. And you want to know what? I was going to be controversial and buck that trend, but you're right. Wisconsin beat the shit out of them. Give me Bucky.
I got Nebraska. Simply based on
loves corn.
Ski's body blow theory. Like Oregon's defense was so good that Wisconsin fired their offensive coordinator. Like their quarterback is truly bad. Their offense can't do anything. By the way, Nebraska's hasn't been able to do anything either, but
you want to see that Wisconsin quarterback on the road.
Yeah.
As much as you say Nebraska stinks, it's still a pretty good home environment, at least.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Nebraska for me.
Yeah.
Please and thank you.
All right. Northwestern, they're only a 10.5-point dog on the road at Michigan.
Michigan.
Northwestern.
Oh, my God. Look at this guy.
Purple power.
I'm taking Michigan and just hope Orgy takes 0 snaps in the game. Then they got a good shot to win.
Yeah.
And last game, we got an old Pac-12 battle here. USC, 4.5-point favorites against Kings Bruins.
Regretfully, fight on.
Yeah, I think we all picked UCLA last week, right? And
Bruins just broke my heart last week, guys. King actually picked UW last week to beat his Bruins. But yeah, I can't after that last, even though I don't want to take USC. They haven't done shit that has shown that they should be favored. But yeah, give me USC.
Yeah, USC real bad, but UCLA real badder. So I got USC too. Like, every time I've picked USC this year, I've hated it. Like, they suck. They stink. Like, USC is not good. And like, their coach is an offensive coach. And their offense is terrible. And they don't recruit good quarterbacks. Like, they're fucking bad. I'm tired of watching them. I'm tired of talking
Miller
about
Moss.
Them.
People tried to sell us on Miller Moss.
God, I'm over it. I'm over USC, man, like, officially. Like, I'm not buying them. I'm not buying them until they have a season where they start at, like, 7-0. I'm not in ever. Never again.
The crazy thing is that Vegas is still very much USC would be favored against 95% of the teams in the country, which is crazy.
Wild. It's wild. Yeah. All right, that lines?
Yep, that's lines.
Okay. Lines.
Jackson Schellstad, who we talked about earlier in the podcast as being terrible this year, has hit 3 threes today, including one that gave them the lead just a few minutes ago. He has 13 in the game. Oregon's leading 74-72 with 1:22 left. I think we're going to be doing this podcast when that game ends. So,
make your free throws, like Bill Shonley said.
Make your free throws.
Do we really need to have the conversation that Nate Biddle is the best player on this Duck team?
No, I'm not ready for that conversation.
I think we might have to have it here soon.
Biddle's got 23 points. 23 points. Just got his 13th rebound. So he's kind of dominating the Beavs right now. Ducks with the ball under a minute.
over on the lead on the year. Yeah. Nate Biddle.
Yeah. It's like, is Bryce Boettcher the best Oregon defender?
Is
Nate Biddle the best Oregon basketball player? Oh, baby. You got to finish that. Biddle, get a rebound, bro.
No.
We're just going to do play by play here. Misses the end one. Okay, let's do our list. It comes from our Discord. It is inspired. Actually, no, it's not inspired by. I think he just gave us the list. Duck Duck Chef gives us the list. Top three items you're going back for seconds for at an all-you-can-eat buffet. So we had some really good options this time. By the way, join our Discord, Sports Brewery and Discord. You can give us list suggestions, movie suggestions in there. Yeah, we had a lot of good options, but that's the one we chose. So it's a top three list that we always do. In this one, I was like, let's do like a main and other. So other can be like a side dish or, you know, whatever you want. And then like a drink. Like a drink you're going back for, and then I'm like, we'll add on like a dessert as like a special treat on top of the top three. So we're going to do like our top of those. So which one should we start with?
Well, do you have an opinion? This is actually hard because you kind of have to pick your buffet of choice. Asian buffet? Going, you know, more of an American buffet? So
it's all open.
Mix it up with each one. Yeah. So yeah. I'll go first. My number one main dish at a buffet would be the old Florence Casino buffet they had. It was a seafood buffet, and I would go back for seconds for king crab legs.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And get some butter. Do you do the butter too?
Now, obviously, I hope it's got a little bit of herbs in there as well, mm-hmm. little herby butter.
Some herbs and spices. I think seafood buffet is a risky endeavor.
In Florence, the coast is right there. That's why it's okay.
Yeah, they got it right out of the old town bay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just walk right down there. Right there.
I know.
Yeah. Right by Lowe's. Yeah, that's where they got it.
Look, just because it's like a 2-minute walk to actually get the crab does not mean that the crab, when it is being eaten by you, is going to do good things to your body. So, you know, it is what it is.
That is also the risk you take at any buffet of any kind of food. So,
yeah. Yeah. The main is like a hard decision for this, by the way, because they're like the different kinds of buffets. Like the main is the main. It's the reason you're going to the buffet. And so like,
I got a question for you guys though on this topic. Do you guys, I haven't been to a buffet for a long time. Hometown buffet's gone. Mm-hmm. Haven't been anything in a while. When you have gone to a buffet, are you going there to get your money's worth or just to eat what you like?
Yeah.
I've eaten at a buffet once in my life. I don't know.
It's been a long time.
Unless Papa's Pizza counts as a buffet. This one is so out of my, I don't know.
Yeah, it does. Yes.
Okay.
If it's called a buffet, then it counts.
You're
like the Tracktown buffet counts, you know, like, yeah, of course.
I don't do buffets.
Yeah.
They're gross.
I haven't been to one in a while. Been a while. I think the last one I went to was like the Chinese food one on Gateway.
Yeah, that's the only. Yeah. I guess I could lie and just do a breakfast buffet line from a hotel.
I like that. I like
that's
that.
Definitely awesome.
Yeah, I like that.
Omelet.
What's going in that omelet, dog?
Diced pork. Onions, cheese. I don't know, man. I don't know.
This is great.
I don't know buffets.
My favorite type of buffet is an Indian buffet. And there used to be like Taste of India in South Eugene. I used to like do their buffet. They had a buffet. They would do a lunch buffet, and you could buy a to go box and like fill it with like you pay. It was like legit like $12 to $15 for the box, but it was a huge box, and you fill it, you take it home, and it's like two or three meals. But goddamn, it was great. My favorite go to was their butter chicken. And it was just, it's fantastic. Butter chicken, you get like some naan bread to go with that. You make the fucking butter chicken into the naan into like a sandwich or a soft taco or whatever. And you just eat it that way. It's so good. Put some rice in there too. Money.
It definitely would be like a soft taco.
Yeah. Let's see. Mains from the chat. Booble says, shitty buffet pizza. It's good. It is good.
You never hit up like Izzy's?
That's the only time of a literally.
You ever went to Round Table Pizza when it was off of Willamette Street?
Pizza buffet and the one time at a Chinese buffet. That's it. I've never been to hometown. I went to like last summer when I was in Vegas. I walked by a buffet and went, oh, it's $49 now for buffet food. I never did the buffet thing.
And there's nothing wrong with those buffets you went to, my guy. Like, genuinely, pizza buffets are amazing. Like, they're fantastic. I love
some of them have like fried chicken also, and you know, like other cool stuff like that. Yeah.
Papa's Pizza has a buffet, man. You know?
Yeah, I know. Get some
cottage cheese with your pizza. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, what I want to say, the market of choice salad bar.
There you go.
Number two.
Jadrian Tracy, two free throws made. Let's go, my guy.
They're going to get it done.
All right.
Oh, they got it done. Oh, the Ducks of Oregon have won 78-75.
Oh, the Ducks of Oregon walking into Gill Coliseum.
Woods.
Coming out with a huge win early in the season. 78-75. Good job, Ducks.
They came back from 11 down in the second half.
Good job, Ducks. You know, like we said earlier, you can't lose that game. All right. From the chat, continuing. Nuttian's main is Mongolian Grill. As much beef and noodles as I can get. Yes.
I went to a Mongolian Grill once, and I saw that everything was frozen, and I went,
That's why it's $13.99 for all you can eat.
It's so good.
Because it's just noodles
I wish I liked buffets, but there are a few things in life that turned me into Monk. Remember that show Monk?
Of course.
There are a few things. Buffets are one of them. Yeah. I'm like, I don't think that's up to temp.
Straight Tony Shalhoub.
Why is everyone grabbing the same tongs?
What do you mean it's not up to temp? You're watching them cook it, man.
Like, at the Mongolian Grill, sure, but at some buffets, no. Putting the tongs in the macaroni and the coleslaw.
And it's been there a while, you know?
And when you go to get the sunflower seeds to put on your sandwich, your salad, you're putting that same tongs.
Yeah. The bacon and the sunflower seeds.
I'm Tony Shalhoub on this one, guys.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I hear you, man.
Sorry.
Let's see. Nuttian says, Erica says, CeCe's dessert pizza.
Oh, CeCe's. The pizza place. That's great.
That's her main.
That's her main place
I've been to. That is a place I've been to in Beaverton a few times, and I go,
nope.
You guys are good. You're good. There is an Albertsons in this lot. Yeah. I will go and get some pasta salad.
No, it's the Homer Simpson gif, right? Like he walks in and then walks out, or whatever.
Ooh. Yeah.
let's see. WCP says North's Chuck Wagon. If it was still around. So mashed potatoes, you say. That's your main? Is mashed potatoes? All right.
Spuds are good.
You're not getting your money's worth if you're eating spuds, though.
You know what, though? Like, that'll be a main and a side and a dessert. And, you know, like, that's...
You gotta get, even if you don't like it, you have to get, like, the prime rib and shit at places like that. Because Otherwise, just go to a place and order some mashed potatoes, and it costs you, you know, it's $9.
Grossing. You guys are like pining for the day of prime rib on Delta flights. You go to North Chuckwagon, you got to get the prime rib. No, you don't. You don't.
Guess what?
Just go to Subway. I guarantee you, it's in the same.
It's not prime rib on the flight. It's Salisbury steak.
Salisbury steak.
That's it. Yeah.
If I am
forced to eat at the buffet, I'm getting my fucking money's worth. I don't care.
I feel like I have ants crawling on me during this conversation.
This is why I'm so grossed out. This is why we're having this conversation. The list is the food you would go back for.
Like a heroin addict. Yeah. I just feel bugs crawling all over me.
Ugh. WCP says, ask Kinger. I can put away mashed potatoes.
Oh, he can eat some spuds.
Yo, I believe that. I don't need him to tell me that. All the online interactions we've had, I believe you eat a lot of mashed potatoes, my guy. He says, I could literally eat 5 pounds of mashed spuds. I don't recommend it, but you can do it. Yeah. All right, Ski, what's your other? That's what we're calling
it. It's just going to be what I'm going to just gross King out as much as possible here. I'd hit up the salad bar. Because it's real hard. You can't fuck up salad. It's just putting veggies in bowls.
I mean, you can't.
Man. It's hard to fuck up salad.
No ice underneath that tray, and you're just eating room temp.
What's wrong with some room temp green?
Science, man.
Yeah, you know, like I'll say, every time I go to like a pizza buffet, I'm making myself a salad too, and I like them every time. And you know why I like them every time? Is because there's bacon, there's cheese, and there's ranch dressing. That is like the most fat and calorie filled ranch dressing you'll ever have in your life. And it fucking, that combination of things with lettuce just tastes amazing. It just does.
And some croutons usually.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, perfect.
God, croutons are great. Croutons are great.
Yeah. I fucking hate this.
Mine.
You'll love my next answer. Then also, okay,
yeah. Strap on, or not strap on. Strap in. Oh baby. all right. My other, sticking with the Indian food theme for me, is vegetable pakora. Is my other, like, it's like the side that it's. Boy, I remember the first time I had it. Like, I never get to have it because I never eat Indian food, but every time I do, it's like, God, I could eat it all day. Like, it's so good.
I believe that Taste of India is still, it's down over by Matt Knight Arena now.
The actual Taste of India? Or is it
it's
a different
taste
place?
Of India.
Whoa,
yeah.
Cool.
The same taste. They moved out of the South Hills, mm-hmm. that big ass building they had before, and
that had like the fake, had the fake tree in it on the inside.
Yeah. Now it's right across the street from Matt Knight.
Can I give a hot take?
Yeah,
hot take.
I don't like, outside of naan, I don't like Indian food.
That's fine.
It's just like too much. It's just like, it's a little bit of sweetness in it. Like even the curry, there's like, I don't know if it's the turmeric or what, but
yeah, yep.
Not for me.
Okay, that's fine.
This whole is not for me.
All of this that we've said.
Indian food
for you.
And buffet food, yeah.
By the way, like, I know we've been not commenting on it so far, but you saying buffet just makes me feel good on the inside, Ski. So just keep it up.
Get up the buffet.
All right, what's your other king?
Dr. Pepper.
You know, we have a drink. Like,
I don't know, man. Stop asking me.
Pick a side. Any side.
Yes.
Pick a side.
Pick how you want to get food poisoning, King. Do it.
Yeah, come on, man.
Breadsticks.
There you go. There you go. That's a good fucking side, man.
I don't need it, though.
They're so good. Goddamn, breadsticks are great. What a cheesy bread, by the way, while we're at it. Shit.
Segment sucks.
By the way, listener, You wanna know what gaslighting is? It's this fucking guy. I send Ski and King the list that y'all gave us in our Discord, and I'm like, hey, which any thoughts on the list? And King is the one who chose this list.
I thought I could lie my way through it, and then I remembered when I look at buffets, I get this saliva in the back of my throat.
Gag reflux. Even when you just like think about it. Yeah. Let's see.
Animals, savages. How did COVID not wipe out those things?
It's amazing we're all still here.
We're still eating office potlucks now again. It's terrible.
The pandemic did kill off hometown buffet for your joy, King.
Thank God.
Yeah. Some good came out of the pandemic.
That's true.
So we got like one other in our chat so far. So start sending them in, guys. WCP says his side at the Chuck Wagon would be some sweet rolls. Sweet rolls are good. I'm with that.
What problem do you have with bread? Can you have a problem with rolls at a buffet as well?
I feel like people don't wear gloves when they work with bread.
You grab your own. People are definitely rooting around in there finding the right one.
There's an old flour, which that'll kill you. Like, that'll kill you.
There's beetles in there.
Yeah. Booble says his is mashed potatoes.
Oh, it's a big tater.
Big tater. Yeah.
You gotta
get a sounder for the Spuds cast.
Spuds cast.
Yeah. Spuds McKenzie up in this bitch.
Rest in peace.
So wait. So WCP, make a choice, because WCP just gave us another one at the Chuck Wagon. His other would be chicken fried steak. So do you want chicken fried steak or sweet rolls? You got to make a choice. It's other / sides. So come on.
Chicken fried steak. That's an interesting food.
That sounds like a main, doesn't it? I think chicken fried steak. It was at Sherry's. Tell you that much. Big ups, RIP.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen a like a breakfast place. He looked at the sides, chicken fried steak. So
yeah.
I wouldn't hate it, but
so he is choosing sweet rolls. Thank you for standing on your laurels and going with sweet rolls. Nuttian says unlimited soup at Olive Garden.
Does that count?
Well, what kind of soup? Are you getting a minestrone?
Oh, yeah.
Getting a nice little minestrone up in there?
An Italian wedding soup?
An Italian wedding soup? Yeah, there you go.
I do love me a good Italian wedding soup.
And then Erica says, bottomless chips and salsa at Chili's.
That's the winner! That's the winner!
Let's go! Good
in the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood. Woo! Let us freaking go.
Chips that you eat in your life, King.
Oh my God, many of those chips. Mm. They're so thin. Mm. They're so thin.
They
even
are
with
thin.
The grease on them, you're like,
thin and greasy.
Is it bad for me?
See through those things.
Absolutely, that's the point.
Yeah. Mm. Beautiful, beautiful choice. I love that. Okay, so now we'll go to our desserts. Or do you want to do drinks first? Let's do drinks first. Like, because desserts,
drinks?
Desserts like
two more. Jesus Christ.
We got to get through this, by the way. Let's
go.
Rapid fire drinks.
My drink, if I'm at the Asian buffet, be Thai iced tea. Standard buffet, I just go standard iced tea. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Pepper. Yeah. Light ice with a slice of lemon.
Now, you know what?
That's plastic. Not paper.
You know what I do with the paper around my straw is I turn it into a little, like, caterpillar.
Yeah.
No, you shoot it. That's great. I turn mine into a little caterpillar, get it wet, and then it, like, extends out. That's what I do with my straw paper. I don't know about y'all. Yeah. Maybe I'm just, like...
Get it wet and it extends? Hell yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'm just, like, elevated.
I've been there, you know? I've been there, brother.
Maybe I'm at just another level.
A while, though.
To the rest of you. Okay, so my drink... when I wasn't a diabetic was lemonade or a strawberry lemonade, probably strawberry lemonade. I would go back for that all the time. And now then it would be like a diet Mountain Dew. Yeah. Diet Mountain Dew.
I know this. He just wants the diet. He just wants those calories. He just wants
sugar.
That sweet taste of that Mountain Dew. Oh,
God. Once it touches your lips, it's over, you know.
Mountain Dew's new commercials, not a fan. I swear the abominable snowmans actually have genitals.
I believe that.
It's uncomfortable.
They're supposed to not have genitals?
Oh, I mean, it's commercial.
It's a snowman. Come on. What are we saying? I mean, I like to imagine my abominable snowman with just like
big old elephant trunk
dropping. Yeah.
They're not tracking them by their feet tracks. It's by their big old cock.
There's a big, line.
Big
old line with two little.
There's a line in the snow.
They're chasing the stripe.
Exactly. All right. What's your drink, King?
He said.
I already said it.
You did. That's right. You were leading the way. Good call. Nutian says water. With the crunchy ice.
Oh, I do love the crunchy ice.
Good call, because that's what all my soda is going into, the crunchy ice. God, it's the best. Erica says Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm. My girl.
Clever girl. What was that? And then Booble says Pepsi or Coke, just gallons of it. Yep. That reminds me of the Pizza Hut buffet. Just nothing but soda the entire time. And then WCP says, drink at the Chuck Wagon would be sweet tea or Pepsi. Because we are, after all, a Pepsi town. So
we are.
Those
billboards everywhere.
Uh-huh.
WCP keeps bringing up the Chuck Wagon. That's been out of business for a long time. I'm sure his drink of choice was like a graveyard back then.
RC Cola.
There you go.
Cheer wine.
Tab.
That's the tab. Diet right.
Yeah.
There you go. Diet right.
I love tab. God, we got to end this podcast.
We really do. This is the longest podcast of the year.
No, but tab kills me because you can see tab on the counters today and it'll say, oh, this contains saccharin. Saccharin's going to kill you. Buy tab.
Buy tab.
Okay. All right, tab. I got you. Okay. Our desserts. A buffet, our desserts.
King, get ready for this. My dessert would be pudding.
Fuck yeah, it's pudding. Ooh. Old ass, warm ass chocolate pudding out of buffet. That's mine too.
Yep.
Let's go.
I want vanilla pudding, not chocolate though.
Vanilla? What about the tapioca? You get some tapioca pudding?
Care for tapioca. I'll take some rice
segment
pudding over
sucks. I've been trying to kill this segment for 30 minutes and you guys keep on Jell-O. Salisbury steak.
Chocolate pudding, baby. Got a bowl of chocolate pudding in my underpants. So. All right, what's yours?
Me?
Yeah.
I actually don't even like desserts in real life, so pass. I don't know. I'm going to start singing Zach Bryan lyrics about like my chicken fried cold beer on a Saturday night.
I mean, kind of. Yeah. Are you offering?
I'm terrible. I don't like this segment.
Yeah. All right. From the chat, Booble says vanilla ice cream out of the machine. So like a soft serve. That's great. Correct. And then you put some like chocolate syrup on it, even though the chocolate syrup at those buffets always sucks. It's like always bad. It's wild.
I'm gonna lose 20 pounds just off this segment because nothing's gonna look good until next Wednesday to me.
And then Nutian says, same as Booble, but add sprinkles.
Like that. Jimmy's.
And let's see, did I miss? Oh, I did. WCP's is pie and soft serve ice cream. That's good too. You got anything from Erica? Nutian? We're waiting.
You're just drawing this out to make me mad.
I sure am.
I feel like this is a bit now. For the last 15 minutes, you guys have just been doing a bit.
No, her thing has been in the chat for like the last 5 minutes. I've just been drawing this out. Erica says peach cobbler extra crumble. Yep.
She's from Georgia.
Georgia. Okay, that's our list. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening, everybody, to this marathon podcast that has no business being a marathon podcast. I'm sorry, and thank you. Movie on Sunday is... What is our movie?
Bone Tomahawk.
Bone Tomahawk, that's right. Movie on Sunday, Bone Tomahawk. It's on Netflix. Watch it. Listen to us talk about it. Bye. So go bye. We
go bye.
We go bye.